Greetings in Jesus' precious name. The one that said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Heaven's been on my mind recently, and as we look and hear, there's been a number of deaths in our Anabaptist circles, and there's people that our loved ones that are sick with terminal illness, and so we think about heaven. It's been on my mind a lot recent months. And Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And I felt inspired to preach a sermon on heaven, and I invite you to listen in. Psalm says, 116 verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Now, let's just ponder a little bit. What does that mean, precious? And yesterday, we had the blessing of having a granddaughter, one of the little babies, spend some time in our house, Oakley. And as I think of something as precious, I think of a little baby. I hold that little baby, and you try and get him to smile and to cue, and you kiss her cheek, and you just feel like you just got to squeeze them in because they're so precious. They're just special. And I believe this morning, as I think of God, when he thinks about the saints going to heaven, they're precious. He just wants to be with them. He loves them, just like we love that little baby, and we call them, they're precious. I believe that God, when he says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." You can open your Bibles to John 14. And I just want to read these verses. They're very familiar. And I'll mention them maybe a little later on in the message. But Jesus spoke these words because he understood that we have hearts that are troubled at times. Jesus was talking about his death and talking about, people denying him. He's talking about the resurrection, and he was trying to explain this to the disciples. And I think the reason he spoke these words because he saw trouble on their hearts. So this morning, as we encounter life and the difficulties of life and we face life, there's times our hearts are troubled. And Jesus understands that. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Very special verses in the Bible. They mean a lot to me. Now, I want to inspire you to make plans to go to heaven. Probably most of us have calendars that we put plans in. We have goals. We have things that we would like to do. There's a few places that I would like to go to as I occupy earth life, if I have time, if it ever happens. There's a few places I would like to go. They're not in my date book yet, but I would like to go to Israel sometime. But I don't have it in my date book, and I'm all right if I don't get to Israel. But I want to ask you this morning, do you have in your date book to go to heaven? Have you made plans? Have you made reservations? And I hope this message will inspire you, inspire a desire within you to make reservations to go to heaven. The reason I have interest in some of those places, there's another place I haven't got to, the Ark Encounter. I would enjoy going there. And probably the reason I have interest in some of those places, there could be a few other things I could add to my list, is because a little bit of knowledge that I have about those places. So it kind of inspires me to want to go there and see it, because there's nothing quite like seeing it. You can read a good book. You can look at a documentary of a land or whatever, but it's still not like being there. This morning, we're just going to take a little bit of a just a little bit of a look into heaven. There's not a lot of things that we can actually, you know, we really have limited insight into heaven, do we not? Actually, we have more insight and understand earth life more and understand what we occupy here than what we do understand about heaven. But I believe that God gave us just enough to create a desire that we want to make reservations. We want to go there. The Bible tells us all that we need to know about heaven. In 2 Corinthians 12, I believe Paul's talking about himself here. He says he was caught up into heaven. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Actually, I'll just read verses 2. I knew a man in Christ about above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such as one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So here we have Paul saying he was caught up into paradise, and he says, I can't even speak the word. I don't know how to explain what I experienced. Actually, I can't even speak the words. Maybe you could say there's no words in the English language that can describe heaven. He's actually, it's unlawful for me to even speak these things. I think Paul was just struggling with trying to, he didn't know how to explain heaven. You know, we know this song that says this phrase, truly we could sing about heaven for a million years and never really get the story told. We just have trouble getting it when we talk about heaven. We just need to experience it. Question is asked, where is heaven? Question has been asked, is heaven a real place? I intend to try and answer that question this morning. I believe heaven is a real place. And I believe heaven is in the north. They call it the North Star, that basically is in the same position at all times because it's close to the axis of the earth. And you can be anywhere on the planet and look at the North Star, and the North Star is still at the same place. Now also, we have some scripture that talks about where heaven could be, or is, I believe, in the north. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Satan actually is talking about his desires. And Isaiah 14, verse 13, and thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Satan's desiring that he's going to lift himself up and he's going to be above God and he's going to be where? In the sides of the north. Leviticus is another scripture I want you to look at. Leviticus 1. Came across this scripture. I didn't know it was here. It's very insightful in regards to heaven being in the north. Leviticus 1, verses 10. And it says, and if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord and the priests, Aaron's sons, and shall sprinkle his blood round about on the altar. Again, we have this northward, before the Lord. So again, I believe that heaven is in the north. If you go to Psalm 48, Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Again, we have the sides of the north. Psalm 75, another scripture, verses 6 and 7. It says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." We don't have the north there. We see that God is the one that promotes. God is the one that sets up them. God is the one that takes down. But he says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but it comes from God, God being in the north. And there's another scripture we could look at. I'm going to keep moving on. So I believe heaven, I think we have support that heaven is in the north. They also tell us, they have the powerful telescopes. They also tell us in the north there's a huge gap in the atmosphere, a hole they call it. There's no stars, there's no planets, it's just a huge hole in the north. And it's believed that could be that's where heaven is, in the north. Now, man's never going to make a telescope that they can see heaven. The only way that we're going to see heaven is we need to make reservations and go there when God calls us home. So we have the three heavens. We have heaven, which we know of, the atmospheric heaven that surrounds the earth. It's where the birds fly. It's about 20 miles deep, you could say. It's where the airplanes fly and so on. Then you have the stellar heaven, where the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and so on. And I just did a little checking. You know, we talk about the International Space Station. That's about 254 miles, which isn't very far. Actually, you can see that on a nice day. You can actually, if you know what you're looking for, you can actually see the space station rotating or across the sky, the earth rotates. Here recently, they put something on Mars, which is 30 million miles from the earth. Took 7 months for their device to get there. The stellar heaven is vast. It's huge. Then we have heaven number three, place where we call God's dwelling place. And I like what somebody said, that the first heaven we see by day, the second heaven we see by night, and the third heaven we see by faith. It takes faith to believe in heaven. It does. But I believe heaven is a real place. It's not some mystical, something out there that is not, and it's just somewhere we're going to be there, and we're going to be floating. I think heaven is real. There's a place. It's a place where a resurrected body can step their foot onto. You see, we're going to have resurrected bodies, and we're going to go to heaven. And will be in heaven. It will be a place. Heaven is a real place. The next point I want to look at, the saved go to heaven immediately upon death. You know, there's a graveyard that we have here, and there's bodies in the graveyard. We bury the body. But it's not the spirit. The spirit is not there. The spirit, immediately at death, the spirit leaves and goes to be with the Lord. If you go to 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. He says, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." He says, I like what he talks about, the confidence that he has. He says, we just know this. We have this confidence. We know that while we're alive in this earth, we have the Spirit is with us in our body, and we're not with God. We're not in the presence of God. Now, we say that God is present everywhere, and we have a relationship with God, but we're not in the presence of God, not like after death, when the Spirit leaves the body and we go into the presence of our Heavenly Father, our God, our Creator God. He says, we have this confidence. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So when we're absent from the body, we're with God. So I believe that at death, the saved immediately go to heaven. We have this confidence to be with the Lord. We're absent from the body. Saints go to heaven, and the unsaved go to hell. Jesus told the thief on the cross, he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Again, another scripture that confirms that the spirit goes to be with God at death. When Jesus died, he says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." The stoning of Stephen. I just need to read those scriptures, Acts 7, and we get another picture of what happens at death. Acts 7, verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And you just can picture that, that it's for real. It's not something that, it's something that Stephen could see. In verse 9, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." So I believe this morning at heaven is a real place, and I believe that the saints go to be with heaven immediately at death. Now, the point number three I have is I believe that we will know our loved ones. I believe that we will know them face to face. It talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, now we see it through glass darkly. It says, "For now we see through glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also I am known." So we have this face to face. We will know people in heaven. You know, we have limited knowledge today. We actually believe we know people. We know each other, but yet we're limited. Because God says man looks on the outward appearance. Man has these earthly relationships, and we make judgments and we make observations. But God says, "I look in the heart." And I believe that when the relationships in heaven will be much deeper than the relationships we have here, because we will know each other from the heart. And that's what he says, face to face, we will know each other. Of course we'll know each other. 2 Samuel, David, remember the story of David? I'm just going to tell you the story. David, the child was sick and was dying, and David wouldn't eat. And David was distressed of soul and spirit and wouldn't eat and drink, and they were concerned about David, and suddenly the child died. And actually, the people didn't want to tell David that child died because they were afraid he's going to sink deeper into despair. But that's exactly the opposite happened. After they told David the child died, he said, he rose up and washed himself and ate and drank, and then he said this insightful, he said, "You know," he said, I can't bring the child back to me, but I can go to meet the child." Isn't that beautiful? I believe that we will know our loved ones. And there could be many questions surrounding that fact. And I don't intend to try and answer those questions. I don't know enough about heaven to how to answer those questions, but I do believe that we'll be known. You could go to examples like Moses, and God took Moses up to the mountain and to show him the promised land. And Moses died. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered." What does it mean to be gathered unto thy people? Well, it's people that they're going to know. And then Abraham was the same thing. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in good old age and an old man and full of years and was gathered to his people. Isaac was gathered to his people. Jacob was gathered to his people. And then in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus actually talks about this reunion. I'll just read that scripture quickly, Matthew 8, verse 11. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So verse 11 is the one I wanted, how there's going to be a gathering of the east and the west, and people gathering together, and there's going to be a reunion, and we're going to know each other. The transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John were with Jesus, the transfiguration, they knew Moses and Elias. And that was from a different generation. They never met Moses before. They never met Elias. But they knew it. They knew it was Moses and Elias. And so, again, I believe that we will know our loved ones. We will recognize each other in heaven. Point number four I have is there will be a joyful activity. Heaven is a rest. That doesn't mean that we're going to be laying around and sitting on lazy boys and just taking it easy. Heaven will be a joyful place of activity. You know, I think of when God created the earth and put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he told them to dress it. That was before sin was on earth. It was only after sin that there was the sweat and the toil and the problems of life and the weeds and so on. But before that, there was a work that needed to be done. There was a service that needed to be done. I don't know what it all meant. I wasn't there. But they enjoyed it. It was a joy of service. And if that has a little bit of gives a little bit of insight of heaven, it could. But then you go to Luke chapter 19, and I don't mean to go too deep into this, but Luke 19 talks about the nobleman and going into a far country, and that's Jesus going into a far country. But before he left, he gave assignment, he gave responsibility, he gave gifts, he handed out talents, and he said, "Now occupy till I come." And we know the story. There's two of them occupied, and they were successful, they were faithful in their service mentality and so on, and there were one what wasn't. And I believe that's a picture of what it'll be like when Jesus comes and gathers up his saints, or even after there's a death of a loved one and they meet the Heavenly Father, that the way we served on earth is the way we'll serve in heaven. And if we don't serve on earth, we won't get to heaven. That's what Jesus was trying to communicate. The one that said, "Oh no, I'm not going to serve. I can't serve. I have my own thing to do in life. I got my own agenda. I got so many things to do." And he buried his talent. And when he came to reckon with Jesus, there was no place for him in heaven. So if you want a place in heaven, you want to make reservations in heaven, we need to be in service today. We need to be in activity today in God's kingdom work in order to have service in heaven. It says in Revelation 7:15, "Therefore are they before the Lord, before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple." There's going to be joyful service in heaven. If you don't enjoy serving God today, if your Christian life, if you don't enjoy your Christian life, if you call yourself a Christian, and if you don't enjoy your Christian life, what do you think you're going to enjoy in heaven? In order to enjoy heaven, we need to enjoy the Christian life here and have fulfillment in living, serving God and enjoy it. I know we have problems and there's times our hearts are troubled. Jesus talked about that. I'm not talking about having a heartache or trouble and tears and so on. But we're talking about an indwelling, a joy that flows within, that we just enjoy being a Christian and enjoy serving God and have meaning and purpose in that. And there'll be a place for you in heaven. There'll be work in heaven for you. There'll be a place for service. Number five, heaven, there's absolute perfection. There's no more tears. There's no more pain. There's no more dying. There's no more sighing. No more sickness. All things will be made new. And we could look at those scriptures, but I'm not going to. Philippians 1, verse 21 says, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want to remind you this morning, to die is gain. We all want to live life where we gain something, right? And he reminds us that dying is gain. The loss is those of that were left behind. We feel the loss. I feel the loss. When my loved ones are taken home to be with glory, I feel the loss. But for the saint, it's gain. It's glorious. Heaven is all that a loving heart of God would desire. Heaven is a result of the incredible mind of God. You know, God created the heavens and the earth and the universe. You know, we marvel at God's creation. You need to just look at a flower. The beauty, we got springtime coming in, flowers are starting to burst through the dirt, and people are planting their flowers, and the greenhouses are soon they'll be beautiful with many colors of flowers. And I have enjoyed just going to a greenhouse and I can't plant all those flowers, so I can just go to a greenhouse and enjoy the flowers. They're beautiful. God created them. God makes a rainbow. You know, there's times there's beautiful sunsets and beautiful sunrises. Only God can paint them. It's God's love. It's God's mind. It's his power. And that's what heaven is. It's God. And we enjoy the things that God created on earth. But it's all tainted with sin. It's all tainted with problems. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him." Heaven is a place of absolute perfection. There's nothing in heaven that will mar heaven. It's a work of a genius God. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus is perfection. A little story to tell you. There's a child that was born blind. And the surgeon believed that he could correct the blindness of the child. And so the parents agreed to do surgery. They did the surgery. The child's eyes were wrapped with gauze. And there came a date and a time when the doctor said, "Okay, take off the gauze and take off the patches off your eyes." And they unwrapped the gauze and took the patches off, and the doctor said, "Okay, sweetheart, open your eyes." And she opened her eyes, and the first thing she saw was the doctor's face. The next thing she saw was the nurse's. Then she saw her mother's face, and the first time she saw a tear running down her mother's face. And she looked around the room, and suddenly she ran over to the window and looked out the window, and she saw the beautiful green grass, the beautiful flowers, and the beautiful blue sky. And she comes running back to her mother and says, "Mother, why didn't you tell me it's so beautiful?" The mother, with tears of joy, said, "Sweetheart, I tried to tell you, but you had to see it for yourself." And I believe that's how heaven's going to be. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to say, "Well, why didn't you tell us? It's so beautiful. We just love heaven." And Jesus will say, "Well, I tried to tell you. You just got to be here to see it, to experience it." You know, heaven, when we read about it in Revelation, it talks about the gold and the silver and all the precious stones and the beauty of it and the streets of gold and the vastness of it and all those things. And the thought was that maybe God wrote all that down because he knows that we're earthbound. And we go by sight. And we go by, you know, we see and we say, well, that's beautiful. And maybe we'll polish something and we'll you know, polish it and we make it beautiful. And we like it. But I want to tell you, there's so much more about heaven than the gold and the silver. I think it's just, God just tells us that because it's a way that he can symbolize the beauty of it. But that's actually not the real beauty. The real beauty is just the presence of God. Which takes me to the next point. Jesus is the crowning glory of heaven. You know, heaven isn't primarily a place. You know, I talked about heaven being a place, an actual place. And I want you to somehow grasp the fact that heaven isn't just a place. If you were away on a trip for a while, and your loved ones were at home, and you come home, you come into the door, what do? Do you go hug the lazy boy? Or do you look at the lamp and say, oh, it's a beautiful lamp, or the kitchen table, or the furniture? No, you look for your loved ones. And you come in and you give your wife a big hug, or your husband, or your daughter, or whoever your loved one is. That's what heaven is. It's not only the streets of gold and the beauty that God describes in Revelation. I'm not trying to distract from that, but I'm trying to get a hold of the picture that heaven is so much more than the beauty. It's the presence of God and Jesus Christ, the one that we love, the one that died on the cross for our sins, that made it possible that we can go to heaven. We don't want to go to the other place. You know, as real as heaven is, hell is real too. Some people believe today that heaven isn't real. If I were to believe that heaven isn't, that hell isn't real. Some people believe that hell isn't real. If I were to believe that hell isn't real, how can I believe that heaven is real? If I don't believe heaven is real, how can I believe that God is real? Of course heaven is real. Of course hell is real. Of course God is real. John 14, Jesus tells us what's real about heaven. He doesn't even mention the streets of gold. He talks about mansions. But he says, you know, he says, you want to get to heaven because that's where I am. That's why you want to be there. You know what, brothers and sisters? I don't want to be any place other than where Jesus is at the end of time. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 17, verse 24. This is a sobering verse. I need to share it. It says, verse 24, it says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And this is, John 17 is Jesus' prayer. He's praying for his saints. And I think that prayer is for us. You know, and today on earth life, and I think it's right. It's right and appropriate, and the right thing to do is to pray for our loved ones. And we pray for healing. Brother Anthony prayed for healing of Tim Kreider. And I think it's right and well. But it's all in the will of God. But I want to remind you that Jesus is also praying and asking that the saints could be with him. That's what he says there. So there's times that, oh, we want our loved ones to stay here. I would love to have my mother here and Chad here and many other loved ones. But I also reckon with the fact that Jesus desires them too. And we need to let them go. We just need to make reservations that Jesus takes us home to be with him when he so chooses. My last point, only the redeemed will go to heaven. Heaven born is to be heaven bound. Jesus talked about being born again. Born again means born from above. And in order to get to heaven, we need to have the new birth. We need to be born again. Only the redeemed will get to heaven. There's many people today that talk about heaven and they want to go to heaven, but they're not redeemed. They're not living above sin. They're not on the road that leads to heaven. Revelation 7:14 talks about those that have their robes washed with the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians, we talked about that in Sunday school. He says, delivered from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That happens today, that we're delivered from the powers of darkness and we can live in victory, we can live in purity, and we have our names written in the book of life. Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. How do you make reservations? What is the password to make reservations to get into heaven? Do you know what that is? Do you know what the password is? You know those passwords that people put on computers and cell phones and so on? You can't get in. It's a hard thing to get in if you don't know the password. And there's ways that they can break through that. I want to tell you something this morning. There's no way to break through heaven if you don't have that password. You can't go somewhere and somehow they're going to unlock it and let you in. You need to know the password yourself. Everyone. What is that password? Well, it's not that complicated. You know, I put passwords on my phone and on my laptop and all these different things that you need passwords for. I make it really simple. The only way I can remember it. Simple. Something that's right there. And that's how it is that God did for us. It's not that complicated to get to heaven. He talks about being born again. Total surrender. Clinging to the cross of Jesus Christ. And you can have that password. And you can be born again. And have reservations in heaven. I asked you again this morning, have you made reservations? Have you made plans? Maybe you want to go there. Maybe you're like I am, that someday I would like to go to Israel. I don't know if I ever make it to Israel. And I'm all right if I don't make it to Israel. Maybe that's what you're doing. You hope to get to heaven. I want to remind you that's not sufficient. I think it would be appropriate to sing a song, a verse of Just As I Am at the close of this message. And maybe you would like to make your calling election sure. Just make it known. Let's sing. The second verse.
stand.